Amen. Praise God. I'm so thankful for Tom and Dawn for getting this program together and setting everything up. It's overwhelming when you look at the numbers at the end, right? It's just millions and thousands and tens of thousands, but I appreciate the name that they've called the ministry One, because it's just one at a time, like everything else. One step at a time, one person at a time that we tell about Jesus. If we think about the masses, it just becomes overwhelming, and often people don't do anything when it becomes. You just see numbers like that, and people are just immobilized and just paralyzed by seeing that amount of need. But when we just do one person at a time, one name at a time. I love how these children are identified by photo and by name, because they're a person. I heard an interview with someone recently where they talked about the problem with the homeless in this country, and how they always make a point to go up to them when they see someone asking for food or for money, and giving them what they're asking for, but also just saying, hey, what's your name? Putting a name behind, listening to their story, because we just look at the numbers for people who are homeless, and it's just a number. But if it's Tim, who's in a tough spot right now, or it's James, who has a problem and doesn't have a home at the moment, then it puts a face to it and puts a personhood behind the problem that there is. And so Jesus is always concerned about how we treat the least of these, and these are the least of these. So I encourage you just to stop down and just see what is that, how you can be a part of this ministry in whatever way that you can. Everybody all right this morning? Everybody well? I'm Chris. I'm one of the pastors here. Our lead pastors, Joshua and Elaine, are out of town. They're up in, I think, Watertown area at one of their daughter Hannah's volleyball tournaments. I think it's going to be one of the last ones, so they all wanted to go up and make sure they were a part of that. And it's important to support family. And thankful that we have a team here that's deep. We can hold down the fort while everybody's away. Pastor Don's in Jamaica. If you're wondering where he is, with his wife as well. I believe they're coming back, I think, this week or very soon. Tomorrow. I'm not picking them up, as you can tell. Someone else is. So it'll be awesome to have them back with us. If you saw some of the photos they've been posting down from down there, it looks like the church is going well. The one that they've been working on and building, it looks awesome. And Pastor Dan shared at our first service, and although our messages are going to be slightly different, I believe that they're going to speak to the same people. I believe this is really for people who just aren't sure what to do next, are not sure where they're going, are in a place of just being lost, where we all find ourselves at one time or another. So I want to go to John 21. If you have a device or a Bible, an actual book format, you can turn there. This is the last chapter in John. Jesus has already been crucified and raised from the dead. And just going to talk about what his disciples are up to in this passage. So John 21 and verse 1 says this. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of the disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come now, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? They answered to him, no. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find them. You will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and a fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of his disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. So I think it's important to put some context. There's a lot here, but like I said, this is the last chapter in John. And Jesus, prior to this, was crucified. They had witnessed that. They had known about that, and he was raised from the dead. But here they are just hanging around. This is the Sea of Galilee. I know it calls it the Sea of Tiberias, but it's the Sea of Galilee as well, just with a different name for it. And they're just not sure what to do now. I would imagine they're depressed, they're frustrated, they're angry about what they've seen their Savior, the one they've been following for years, go through on the cross. And so I have a visual picture of them at this lake. It's a lake, really. They call it a sea, because prior to Pastor Vaughn's passing, he took a group of us there on a trip, a small group, and we literally ate a St. Peter's fish at this restaurant on the Sea of Galilee. So it was an awesome time, and I can visualize where these guys are. It's not a large lake. It's quite small, actually. And, you know, sometimes when you don't know what to do, I guess you go fishing. Any fishermen here? I know I don't see Jay today. I'm sure Dan's here somewhere. But the point is, these guys were commercial fishermen. When you don't know what it is to do next, you do what you know how to do. And so that's what they did. And then I think one of the important points to raise is that they did something. Some of us, when we don't know what to do, we just sit, idle, going nowhere. But the point is, when you don't know what to do, at least take the next step. Do something else. Even if it's going back to what you know, and you're not sure what the next move is going to be, it's important to do the next thing. I found this quote, I don't know who said it, but it says this. And when you're not sure what to do next, do the next thing. Do the next thing, and then something else is going to occur. Some other circumstance will happen. You're going to find some direction. You're going to find some wisdom. You're going to find some truth in where it is you should go from here. And so these guys are commercial fishermen. They're going to go out and try and make some money, find some fish out there. And so they have a frustrating night of fishing. Everyone ever have a frustrating night or frustrating day? And it's not like these guys don't know what they're doing. These guys are professional commercial fishermen. It's not their first time out on the boat. And here they are. They came up with a big zero, having not caught a single fish. They're not out there with poles, trying to do one at a time. The sea is prosperous with fish. They've got a whole net. They're trying to drag through this spot, and they've got a big zero. But there was a joy that came in the morning. And so Jesus tells them to go on the other side, right? Go on the right side, and they haul in 153 large fish. So this isn't a message that righties are right, lefties are wrong, because I'm a lefty, so we won't go there. That's not what it is. But what happened here? Why did this work out for them? Like I said, these guys are not amateurs. I'm sure that they knew the best spots to go to. These guys knew this lake. They knew where to go. If anyone's a fisherman, you know there's certain spots fish congregate, certain spots that fish don't. There's history there. Historically, you can catch fish in certain places and other places not. And so they knew what they were doing. And then here this unknown guy on the beach, because it says in the word that they didn't know who he was at first, until they got to shore, they didn't know this. There's a man on the beach saying, hey, why don't you try behind you on the right side? And so they're at a point where they're able to hear some wise counsel. They're able to hear some advice from somebody else. Now, if this man, who they have no idea who he is at this point, told them that 20 minutes in, they're going to be like, who's this guy on the beach? We're professionals. We know what we're doing. They probably wouldn't be able to hear that advice, and they just would have kept on doing what they're doing. But here they are up literally all night, and they've come up with nothing. So now, I believe that they're in a place to be able to do anything. I'll try this. You want to tell me to fish here? Why not? This hasn't worked for us here in this spot. I'm open to trying anything else that's new. And so they're in that mindset where they're able to just take the advice of some unknown guy, and they were able to hear that and use that advice. Another reason that they were able to be able to just so quickly do that is because these were Jesus' disciples. They had come from a place, they learned as the time spent with Jesus to just say yes to what he does. I think there was something familiar about this voice that they heard, even though they didn't know who it was. They had heard people, a man, speak like this to them before. And so they were quick to say yes and to obey. And we're people who should also be quick with our yeses and our obedience and just say yes. You know, we have four children, and so we have to run a tight ship. Probably not quite as tight as the Rays shared this morning, as Dan did. They've got seven, so they have to run things even more tightly. But one of the things that we always try and educate our kids on is obedience. And so my wife uses this phrase that even slow obedience is disobedience. You know, when you tell a kid to do something and pick something up and they're just know, they're just dragging. They're going to get a little swat on the behind, and next time they remember to do it in an instant. Quick obedience is what we're looking for as parents, and I believe Jesus and God is also looking for our quick obedience when his word comes. A quick yes is powerful, and it, I believe it just ministers to him. And so they had sort of been in one of these circumstances before, literally with the same kind of situation. That's in Luke 5, verse 1. It says this in Luke 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Remember this account? Jesus teaching from the lake. When he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they became filled, both the boats, as they began to sink. And so they had seen this kind of scenario before with Jesus out on a boat where they had literally stuck their nets where he said to and came up with an awesome net of fish. And so you can imagine hearing this kind of counsel if we go back to the original scripture of them out all night and Jesus telling them to do this. And you have to think, these guys just thinking with their natural mind, this is the stupidest advice. You want me to put my net on the other side, which sounds like it's, you know, probably like 5 feet difference. This is water. It's fluid. Fish move. They do kind of sometimes, you know, swim idly, but what difference is putting the net 5 feet across on the other side going to do? It just sounds stupid to the natural mind, but thank God that these guys had a faith. They didn't just think with the natural mind. They had a spiritual perspective as well. And so sometimes we're just in this place. We're just coming up empty in life. I don't think many of us here are fishermen, so I'm gonna go off of that now. But it's just in life, there are those of us who go through times of drought. We're just coming up with nothing. We're coming up empty, where there's no fruit to show for what we've been doing. These guys were toiling, as it says, out all night. That's hard work, dragging nets in. You ever watch those shows on Discovery Channel where they catch the lobsters and the king crabs and stuff? That's incredibly hard work. It's probably not quite the same level, but nonetheless, dragging in these huge nets is difficult work. And these guys are just frustrated. Imagine you're out there 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, and you've got not a thing to show for it. And sometimes that's true with life. We've been out doing life for years, and we have sometimes at times seemingly like nothing to show for it. I can attest to tough spots like that. And we all go through seasons. Dan shared an awesome message this morning, as I said, about seasons. Maybe that's a season that you're in right now, even. Or maybe you're going to be upon one at some point. And so, maybe we have heard wise counsel but ignored it. Maybe we've heard a wise word from someone we trust, from a friend, a parent, from a pastor. And we've ignored the wise counsel because to us it seems like that's not going to work. The advice you're telling me to do something, it's too simple. The solution to my problem, to my life here, where I'm in this situation, has got to be more complicated than that because I'm in a complicated situation. We think like that. We try and make things more complicated than they are when sometimes it's just as simple as listening to what Jesus says and just moving in another spot 5 feet over. Have we ignored wise counsel when we're in this place of not knowing what to do next? Sometimes we do know what to do next, but we're just living in the flesh and we're not going to do that. Sometimes we like the place that we're in because it's predictable, because our mess is predictable and the possibility of changing that looks more scary than just staying where we are in this mess of a situation. And that's true for some people as well. But there's an obedience. I remember with just being quick to say yes. It's a powerful thing when, I don't see Xavier here today. I remember when Xavier had I'm not going to call it a bachelor party because it was like five or six of us married guys with Pastor Vaughn in Dan Ray's old house, like the night before Xavier was going to get married or a couple nights before. And so it wasn't wild by any means. Had some Mountain Dews out there, I think, right, Dan? That was Xavier's big thing at the time. I remember at one point, though, Vaughn, you know, I've always, of course, having to bring something of the word and something of faith into this, any kind of meeting, saying, all right, us guys here, all of us are married, but you, X, so why doesn't everyone just go around and just give one piece of advice for Xavier before he gets married? So I remember what my piece was, and it was just to be quick to say yes to what your spouse asks of you. I'm not just saying an across-the-board yes to everything. Obviously, some things need to be talked about and need to be thought about and considered carefully. But if it's a quick thing where your spouse asks you, hey, can you go downstairs and get the laundry out? Just say yes, I'll do that. And when you just start agreeing like that to things quickly, there's a blessing that comes. There's fruit that comes to life. Because then your spouse is going to be quick when you say yes to ask her something. And then there just creates this environment of just positivity, it's just an awesome thing to do. And so that's one of the reasons that these guys were blessed. So when you obey, when you say yes to him, to what he's telling you to do, there's blessing that comes. There's provision that comes. There's 153 fish. That's a lot, I would say, for one night when you just swing the net over there and you get all that. That's going to turn, if they go around and sell those in the market, I'm sure that's going to turn into a decent amount of money. So there's blessing, there's provision that comes when we listen to God. He's telling us where it is oftentimes. It's right here. You just have to move over a little bit. And he's just wants to see, are you going to do it? Of course he could have made the fish come to where they were. He's God. He could have had the fish swim right into the net if he wanted to and said nothing. But he decided to do it this way. Are you going to obey me? Are you going to obey this little line that I say, this one sentence? Are you going to do it? Or are you going to stay doing what you're doing and have it not work out? Isn't that the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing for 8 hours and expecting a different result? Hey, why not try it? Maybe it was obvious. Listen, the lake is very deep. It's like extremely deep, actually, from what I've read about it. But maybe the fish were right at the surface and maybe they were jumping. But these guys, sometimes we get tunnel vision on stuff. Maybe they just zeroed out on this one spot because what? Historically, that's the way we've always done it. This is where the fish have always been. This is what's always worked for us in the past. This is where they're going to be. But in the meantime, we're just hitting our head against the wall and nothing is happening. No one's going anywhere. And Jesus just wants to say, hey, genius, why don't you just look right behind you? They're right there. But sometimes we can't see it. We're just focused on the spot. When people are, especially in high stress situations, you talk about tunnel vision, where you can only see one thing, you can't even hear anything else or see within outside like a 5-foot window, you just focused on this one spot. Maybe that's the situation that they were in. They just couldn't see it. I don't know. But I do know that the blessing was behind them, and when they did what they were told to, provision came. And listen, when we listen to God, it doesn't just affect us. Affects everyone around us. Everyone who was with them in that boat saw what happened. And the people that they're going to go and share this fish with, or they're going to sell them, they're going to be blessed too. When we obey God and listen to what he has for us to do, blessing isn't just going to come to us, but it's going to come to everyone around us too. So our disobedience, in that same respect, also is going to affect everyone around us too. If you're being disobedient to God, then it's probably affecting everyone else around you in a negative way. Your family, your kids, the people you see at work. Sometimes it's just simple, just saying yes to God. I've missed it. You are right. I'm going to turn around and do what you say. It's repentance. There's also an element of that. If it's just on the other side, then turning is repentance. If you realize that you've missed it, you just turn around and face the right way. And listen, if you get on the thruway, I get on the thruway most every day, almost Monday through Friday. And then I always go north towards Albany. So if I happen to, maybe on the weekend, I'm supposed to be going south. How many have done this? You're just on this mode of just going one way, and come on, I've gotten on the wrong way, and you look to get off at the nearest exit, or perhaps if no one's around, you make a U-turn and just go back the other way. But the point is, you don't just say, oh, well, I'm just going to go up to Albany like I always do. No, As soon as you realize that you're heading in the wrong direction, you want to turn that around as quick as you can. So why not the same for us in the spirit and with our faith? Why not turn things around as soon as we realize, I've missed it. I've been doing this all the wrong way. I've been missing what Jesus is telling me. Then just turn it around. And blessing is going to be there. Provision is going to come. And so it's not just about and just researching some of the word. The lake is deep. There's a lot out there. We haven't hit the end of everything. If you just feel like you're at the end of it, you've tried everything. You've tried every different place in the lake. You've tried every different thing you can do in life, and it just hasn't worked out. You think you've tried everything from God. Trust me that you haven't. The lake is deep. I think it was said in some research, I said it was 200 feet down in some spots. How much more deep is God? You think that he can't work something out for you? He can't send you in the right direction, point you in the right way if we can hear his voice? Sometimes it's a matter of quieting and muting out other voices that are around us. Maybe sometimes it's cutting out people in life that are just being loud, and we can't hear direction. We can't hear which way that we're supposed to go from God because everyone else is in our ear and telling us what to do. Maybe it's time to turn some of those people down for a season or just cut them out. There's times to cut out people in life that are not going the way that you're going. And so what happens after they do obey? I want to kind of just end with what the result of all this is. In the end, they have breakfast with Jesus on the beach. That sounds awesome right now. But Peter gets some answers that he's looking for. Remember what happened to Peter before the crucifixion? He denied Jesus 3 times. And I have to think that he's still really broken up about that. I would be. How could you not be? You just denied your Savior 3 times, saying that you don't know who he is, and he gets crucified, and you're still here. I'd expect there's probably some survivor's guilt about that. Jesus is gone, but I'm still here, and I told a lie that I don't know who he is. So in verse 15 of John 21, this passage is called Jesus Restores Peter. And he says this, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he had said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' And Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when we were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish.' This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" And so it goes on with one more passage. But the point of this is that Jesus restores Peter. He asked him that 3 times. Peter had denied him 3 times. I think there's something to that. But he also gives him direction. He tells him what the next move is to make. To tend to his sheep. To feed his sheep. Look after the sheep. And they go on to do that in Acts. If you read through Acts, that's what they do. The church is started. And so they're called to continue on to go on and preach the gospel. He got the direction that he was looking for. Before, he's in this idle place, not knowing what to do. They're just sitting on the beach doing nothing, not sure what to do. They go out. They're obedient. They say yes to him. And then what happens? He hears the literal voice of God of what to do next. He's told his next move, his next way to go. And then he's given, unfortunately, a prophecy about how his life is going to end for him. But the point is he gets answers to what he's looking for. I don't know about you, but we're all looking for answers about what to do, about what to do next. We all have a call of God upon our lives. And some of us have started out on the road to figuring out what that is. Others of us haven't. Maybe we started, but we stopped. But all of us do have a call. And it's not one that's going to be, it's supposed to be at all confusing. It's supposed to be simple. And some of us just haven't, we just don't know what to do now. Maybe there's been a tragic life event that's happened, like this one here. Maybe that you've experienced a death in the family. You've experienced the loss of employment, the loss of a spouse, a marriage, a relationship, a friendship. You're just not sure what to do next. And so I just believe the Lord's saying this morning is that he's probably been telling you what to do, and we just haven't done it. Or you've been surrounding ourselves with people that are making it too loud to be able to hear what his voice is saying to do next. And so this morning I would just say to the other, turn down those voices so you can hear his, and just do the next thing. You know, some people come to me and ask about what to do with money, about what to do with finding a job that's better, or just finding a job, period. And my advice is just find any job. Just do something. Get the wheels turning. You know, we always hear the phrase, you can't steer a parked car. It's true. If you try and steer a parked car, you're just going to ruin your tires, you're going to ruin your steering, and eventually the car is going to suffer. It's got to be moving if you want it to steer right and steer well and point you in a direction. And so start doing something. Get any job. Do something. Idleness, especially isolation, if you're not surrounding yourself with other people, if you're not in fellowship with other people who are believers, who have faith, it's a tough place to be. Join a life group. Join one of the men's groups that meets, either we go around to other churches on the weekends sometimes when there's a men's breakfast, or every Wednesday the guys are at Panera. They switch to Panera over Starbucks. They're there. The women's are meeting up as well. There's these informal meetups. There's places to fellowship with. Get connected. Get involved with people. Because that's the danger of, as we continue to grow our church, is that we don't want everyone to ever feel disconnected or left out of anything. Because we can't speak to everyone from here on a Sunday morning. That's why we have the life groups. That's why people have their meetups during the week, the youth group, the other ministries. Join something. And I also say, just if you're not, you know, we've had a big push for service, for serving in a ministry. If you haven't done that, I would ask you just to consider that as well. Get involved in some kind of ministry. Because that was the ultimate answer for Peter and his crew, is to get involved in a ministry. Start ministering to the people who don't know about me yet. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, look after them. We're all called to do it. There are certain calls of God that are across the board. We're all called to go into the world and to preach the gospel and to share. That's across the board. Maybe there's specifics to that, but if we just start out with that in mind, you'll be able to find something to do. And so get involved in a ministry. Why? Because it gets the focus off of ourselves. These guys sitting on the beach, they were just thinking internally, focus on me, focus on me, focus on me. But when you turn the focus off of yourself, you realize that you don't really have it that bad as you think you do. There's people out there, like we saw this morning on the video, that have it actually a lot worse than we do. The need is great all over the world. And frankly, if you've been born in this country, you've won the lottery by the world standards. And so it's easy to forget that. It's easy to get that out of our minds when we're just focused on ourselves and whatever our lack might be. But God is deep. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to go on to the next place. And why don't we all just stand this morning? Thank you, Jesus. Father, this morning I just thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, I thank you for, Lord, just realize that it's timeless, Lord, that it speaks to us in just so many ways, Lord Jesus. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for wisdom this morning, Lord Jesus. I thank you for direction, Lord, this morning. I thank you for your truth, Lord, this morning. And Father, if there's anyone in this room, Father, that just doesn't know what to do next, if they just don't, they're just not sure what their next move is, Lord Jesus, they just don't know where to turn, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to them, Lord Jesus. See, Lord, even right now, Father, even on their way home, maybe it's in their car, Lord, driving somewhere this week. Father, I just pray, Lord, in a real and a tangible way, Lord, you would speak to them, Lord, through your word, Father, through a song, Lord, through their own voice, Lord Jesus, through the voice of a leader, of a pastor, Lord, whatever it may be, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, they would in a tangible way, Lord, just hear what to do, Father, where to drop the net, Lord, in life. There's plenty of other places, Lord. We haven't tried it all. There's other places to fish. There's other things to do. There's other places to turn, Lord Jesus. So Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your voice. We want to be a people who are obedient, Lord, to what you tell us to do, Lord. Father, we want to be in line, Father, what you call us to do, Lord Jesus. We understand, Lord, that each of us has a calling, has a ministry that only we can do. There's a ministry, Lord, that only Peter and his disciples, Lord, could do. And Father, for them to be obedient, Father, that's why we're all here this morning in the church, because your church was established, Lord, through these disciples. So Father, we don't want to like shortcut any part of the thread of the fabric, Lord, that you're trying to lay out, Lord Jesus. So Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy, Lord, that you've set upon us, Lord, a foundation that Jesus, Lord, is the cornerstone of our faith. Father, we just love you so much, Lord Jesus. I thank you for each and every person, Lord, that's here this morning, that cut time out, Lord, of a busy weekend, Lord, to be here, and Lord, to be a part of your house, Lord, to be a part of your church, and just to be able to come together and just to be of one mind, Father, one accord, and just corporately, Lord, just praise your name and worship you, Lord Jesus, and just do life together. So I just thank you and bless you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.